I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do. This guy says the horse can do. If he says the horse can do, can do, can do.
I'm making valentines, cause on the morning line, the guy's got him figured at 5 to 9. But make it FS 10, he wins it by a half, according to this here in the telegram.
For a fair old bite, I hear his foot's all right.
Welcome back. Yes, it is the If and Reverse Breeders' Cup Special. A little guys and dolls action there in this rustling, bustling Rampart Casino, as you can hear in the background. We make our way. And ready for the Breeders' Cup 2022. Yes, 2022. So I'm your host, Dwayne Colucci, manager of Race and Sports at the Rampart Casino. We're going to give you a few tips on Friday and Saturday's races on this Breeders' Cup special of If and Reverse. It's been a while, guys. Definitely a lot of red tape, producing and getting these lovely podcasts for you guys off the ground. And just glad to be back. And hopefully we could give you guys some winners. Don't forget, myself and Bob Ike will be hosting our Breeders' Cup annual seminar at the Rampart Casino inside the Cascade Lounge at 6 p.m. Friday, November 4th. And that will cover most of Saturday's card. So I'm going to predominantly give you guys Friday's card. Plus, we will have a live stream of the Breeders' Cup Saturday analysis that myself and Bob Ike will put forth, and that's always a great event. We hope you guys could turn out, watch it on the live cast. It's a lot of fun, and definitely something that you don't want to miss anytime Bob Ike is trying to help you guys and give out some winners. So just another fabulous event at the Rampart Casino to promote horse racing here in Las Vegas in Summerlin. All right, so we have a fabulous card. I mean, Keeneland has put together a fabulous card. I'm flipping through the racing form. First four races are not Breeders' Cup. The fifth is considered somewhat a Breeders' Cup. It is the Marathon. It's not a Breeders' Cup race, but the Marathon used to be a Breeders' Cup race, and now you have this fabulous field. And that will be the start of the pick six at Keeneland as well, races 5 through 10. So the Marathon is considered part. I'll give you guys a few horses there. When looking at the rags and sheets and you're dealing with a long race like this and you're using the buyer speed figures and a lot of handicapping tools, it's difficult because you're looking at this race, I believe, is 1 5/8, which is a unique distance over the Keeneland main track. So I believe they start out of that long chute on the backside and they come on around. So, definitely positioning will make a difference. I think this is somewhat similar to the Saratoga new chute. So, you have to angle in, you have to make, because you're basically on a turn to start the race. And then you hit another sharp turn and, definitely positioning will make the difference in this race. And the one, definitely Rattle and Roll. He's one of the prime contenders. That's Brian Hernandez is riding. He's been having a fabulous, fabulous season. And if you look by, the speed figures, definitely this horse coming off that Rockingham victory can Remington Park, I should say, not Rockingham. The Remington Park victory is very nice. He was bet down to $1.40 in that race. The race prior also is a nice run. And that was at 1 1/16 at FanDuel, St. Louis Derby winner here. So a lot going with Kenny McPeak and Hernandez, who, have hit at 20% in a 388 race sample. And they have a 242 ROI at Keeneland. So this horse is going to be well bet, and 5-2 morning line. I then look at number 4, Haywood's Beach. I think this horse definitely with Ramon Vasquez, another jockey who has had an incredible, incredible season in the Southern Cal Circuit. This horse has won the last race, the Tokyo City over at Santa. A real nice run, and that is at a long, long distance of a mile and a half. So this is a little further, and he was able to withstand. He was clear. He held in that race, and he held off another nice horse, Win the Day, who will be ridden by Umberto Rispoli, another top jockey in the Southern Cal area. Rispoli tried to make a transition similar to Flavion Pratt. He was trying to make the move over to the East Coast or the Kentucky, base. And he wasn't as successful as Pratt. You know, you kind of knew that Flavion was going to get those monster mounts. And it really did work out for Pratt, whereas Rispoli, he had a little more going against him. You don't have those Chad Brown contracts that, a guy like Pratt had. So this definitely affected Rispoli. He then made the transition, he totally went back to, you can hear me getting some water here, guys, very busy, like I said, this week. You got to fit everything in, and this podcast, always my pleasure to share with you guys. So, a lot of fun, if in reverse. You know it's real when you're dealing with myself, totally real, breaking it down to earth, in the studio here, in the fabulous casino here, the Rampart facility. Come and join us. It's just going to be fabulous. So getting back to Rispoli, yeah, he didn't have the same things going for him that Flavion Pratt did. So Pratt was able to successfully make the move, whereas Rispoli had to go back to Southern Cal. He had a decent Del Mar meet. I mean, I was there. I seen some of his rides. It seemed like he was definitely favoring the closing style, where it's very difficult at Del Mar, very difficult here at Keeneland as well. So keep that in mind, when handicapping these races, you definitely have to take into consideration the trip. Now, this Win the Day is a Doug O'Neill horse who likes to sit close. So this may be able to work into his favor. I'm not so sure. I think it's a great race. I think these are the three major contenders. Like I said, you're dealing with the rail horse Rattle and Roll, the four horse Haywood's Beach, and the number nine horse Win the Day. And those are the horses I was really breaking down when looking at this marathon race. So we'll move on to the next race, which is a Breeders' Cup race. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. I have a nice opinion in this race. I'll be honest with you. Everybody's seen it. This is a buzz horse right now. The 12 horse, the Platinum Queen. When you look on a racing form and you see a two-year-old, which has faced older competition multiple times and has beaten it, the competition, I mean, you're talking about a two-year-old racehorse, guys. 2 years old and facing older horses, which is somewhat in North America unheard of. But, the Europeans have this style. They run these horses. Doyle retains the mount. You have Richard Fahey, a European trainer with much success. And the horse has won a group one, as they call them in Europe, over a very, very soft course. And to get a 58-3 on a heavy course like that, the horse is moving. So, this is definitely one of the top contenders that I feel on this Friday card. I also look at the two-horse Love Reigns, Wesley Ward, Irad Ortiz. This is another horse that traveled to Ascot from the Ward barn. And, Wesley, I can't speak enough about him. He is so fabulous when he's dealing with the younger horses and the younger contingency. And a very successful trainer, I must say. Wesley Ward with younger runners. I always prefer Ward with a younger runner. If I could get him on the turf, if I could get him in a favorable situation, especially a sprint, this horse definitely has some gas. You got Irad the man. You know how I feel about Irad. I mean, I think he's the best rider in the country. He's had some trials and tribulations this year, but this guy is just a fabulous, fabulous rider. You look at the buyer speed figure last race at Saratoga in 89, very strong for a two-year-old filly. So definitely these are the two horses. I give Private Creed the 3 and Outside Chance. You know, definitely was closing, has a win over this course, which is very important. When you're dealing with Keeneland, anytime you could have a win over this course, I believe it is so, favorable on the running lines that it works in your advantage. And you get Joel Rosario. He had a fabulous, fabulous season. Saratoga, fabulous meet. Big money rider. He was winning a lot of stake races this year. And keep your eye on that horse. Another contender, the Bob Baffert runner, naturally Speedboat Beach. Just a freak. I mean, that maiden victory was so impressive on September 10th. And then he wheels back and runs, in the speakeasy in a 5-furlong turf race, 55-1. For a 2-year-old. And you know, the buyer is kind of soft on that race when you look at it. It's an 81. The rag is real nice, but these are where speed figures conflict at times, and you try to combine and you want to get the proper feel for the race. I think this horse has got to be close to the lead. Switching from Hernandez to Pratt. Pratt rode the horse in the maiden special weight victory over at Del Mar. Naturally, he was staying in the Midwest and the East Coast, so you had to use Hernandez, who is the best rider out at the colony of Del Mar, Santa Anita. When he does choose to ride Los Al. So you do have that working for you. Bob Baffert, the magician, he's hitting at only 30% this year. So, take it for what it's worth. A lot of people bash Baffert. A lot of people don't like him. I think this horse could definitely, definitely rumble and has to be used. I will definitely probably be keying the 12 in this race, the Platinum Queen. I just like those races. I like the European runners in these turf races. So I'll be going with the Platinum Queen in the 6th race. Okay, the 7th race now we move on to is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, where you have the best younger fillies in the country that are younger than 3 years old. The 3-year-olds, naturally, we all know that colony with Nesta leading the way there. But now you look at the 2-year-olds and you try and find who is going to be the next Nest. And very, very difficult here. You have, the 2 horses, very nice. A John Terranova runner, You Are My Girl, ran right behind Chocolate Gelato last race, chased her, and, ran pretty well in that race. And that was a learning experience in the slop after a big 14.5 length victory in the maiden special weight race. So you look at You Are My Girl, definitely has some upswing. John Velasquez, 10-1. We know John is, very similar to Money Mike Smith. These guys ride big money horses and are very successful, and especially later on now in their careers where, these guys are looking to just garner those big purses. And that becomes very, very important as, like I said, you career starts to wear on, you become more selective. And that's what Velasquez and Smith have done. The next runner, the 3 horse, definitely a nice horse. Peter Miller runner. I mean, has a lot of upswing. He had 3-for-3, winner of the Del Mar Debutante, winner of the Chandelier, grade 1, grade 2. You look at the buyers, they're a little light, but, stretching out, the horse was able to do it, win already at 1 1/16. Very, very important that you know your horse could get the distance when you're handicapping with these younger 2-year-olds. And I find that to be the most difficult, negotiating and navigating a beautiful trip, and as well trying to get that distance and be able to last. So definitely a very nice horse that Peter Miller has in the barn. Then you move on to the Marcassi winner over the course, the Alcibiades. A big win. 1-for-1 at Keeneland. Has better buyer speed figures than the Peter Miller runner. And, Wonder Wheel. Tyler Gaffalione, I can't say enough about him. He's not been as hot as he was earlier in the season. And he's been getting massive mounts, I tell you. Between Keeneland and Churchill, this guy seems to be on every favorite. And this horse is going to be well bet here. But he got a grade 1 out of this horse. Finished 2nd in the spinaway against, some of the competition in here. And before that was perfect. So I went to Saratoga. Sometimes not all the horses love Saratoga. Didn't win in that race, but now you do see a brilliant workout slate of 47-3 over at Keeneland and a 48-2, plus the victory there. I've been training here for a while. A lot of upswing on Wonder Wheel, and Wonder Wheel will take a lot of action. I'll tell you that right now, as will this 7-horse Chop Chop. Anytime you're dealing with Brad Cox, you're going to take a lot of money. Guy's hitting at 25%. Clips Award trainer winner. I mean, combines with Joel Rosario for a 227 ROI at Keeneland, 27%, 30% overall on the year. Now, the ROI is $1.90, but you're still hitting at a 30% clip when these two team up. And he just missed in the Alcibiades. He was coming really quick after Breaking Bad. Before that, you had two turf runs, nice runs with Ray Lou Gutierrez, one at Ellis Park, the maiden victory, and then Kentucky Downs over a yielding course, a very tough course to win over, especially when yielding. So keep that in mind. Definitely has a shot. Automatically, the 8-horse, one of the Todd Pletcher runners, taking over from Jose Pinchin. I definitely think this is a trainer advance move. Todd Pletcher, he's a big money trainer. He's one of the best conditioners in the world. This horse comes, granted against state bred and restricted company at Gulfstream Park, but another horse that has won easily over the distance. And now you switch from Perez to Luis Saez, who is another great rider, and this horse definitely can be used in exotics. I think she's a little slower though than her competition here, so I'm going to take a pass on this horse. But I am looking at, naturally, the other Todd Pletcher runner, Chocolate Gelato, who has just looked fabulous, bouncing around those last two races. The maiden race, you always get a pass on that first time start, 5.5 furlongs at Saratoga. It was like opening week, July 14th. That's really early in the season. And, gave a good account of herself. But then after that was just crushing, cruise to victory in a 110-1. And then at a mile at Aqueduct, just a real nice run into Frisette, was able to hold off You Are My Girl and, Leave No Trace as well. A very nice win. Leave No Trace was undefeated going into that race. And that all changed when Chocolate Gelato just took command. And she's been the betting favorite in all three races. I don't see why she's not going to be the betting favorite here as well. So keep that in mind. If you're a chalk player, there's going to be a lot of chalk on this horse. There's going to be a lot of backing, but this is a wide open field. So take that into consideration. There can be an upset. Usually in these Breeders' Cup races, there are upsets. But this horse definitely has a lot going. Irad Ortiz, once again, you're going to find this kid in the saddle on a lot of great, great horses. And now it seems like he's transferred a little from the Chad Brown repetition to now moving over to the Todd Pletcher, barn and riding Top Call for Todd, which is a fabulous thing. Todd has a plethora of horses, dirt, turf, all sorts of runners, excellent conditioner, like we said. So Chocolate Gelato, 7-2 morning line. Irad Ortiz, 24% at the current meeting with Todd Pletcher, 239 ROI. 27% out of a 403 race sample when these two guys combine. So you're winning more than one in every four races, which is pretty strong. Gonna take a lot of money here. All right, the next horse is my long shot play, American Rockette, the 11. The problem with this horse is, can this horse run straight? And I've said this in my analysis with the Thule's Thoroughbred Takes, Dave Thule, weekly publication on my Breeders' Cup picks. The whole factor, the horse is broken bad, bolted out, it seems. And Junior Alvarado is one of the strongest riders in the country. So if this poor guy is having trouble controlling this horse is definitely a rank animal. And the last time, wasn't as bad as the spinaway, where the horse was like 20 wide at the start. I can't even, went to the outer rail and then was flying like a freight train. Then you come back in the Frisette and similar, where she broke bad, bolted a little, I could tell, hard to handle, wasn't taking to that sloppy racetrack, and then kind of flattened out, but took a lot of money. you know, 345 on the dollar. So a lot of people had recognized that spin away run, and they were looking for that to be somewhat rectified, and it really wasn't. So now the pressure is on Bill Mott, and the finger pointing has started to where can Bill Mott get this horse to break and be controlled, and can Junior Alvarado be the right combination? Now, Alvarado and Mott have been a dominating, combination. 29% at the Keeneland meet. They've combined for a lot of really nice runs at grade ones, grade twos, and it seems that Junior has been Mott's go-to guy, and definitely this horse is not going to take a lot of money on the board just because you're seeing the horse lose by four, by seven lengths, I should say, running fourth against Chocolate Gelato, lost to Leave No Trace, who is outside of this horse, and Leave No Trace is 20-1, American Rockette is 20-1, so you're going to see Leave No Trace take a little more money than American Rockette, in my opinion, so I think American Rockette will be a little higher in odds. I think the horse does want distance, even though she kind of flattened out that last race. So be perceptive. See how the horse is warming up. You don't want to see a real geared up animal. Definitely you want to see an animal that is more in control, where a little calmer. But this is the Breeders' Cup. You're going to have a big crowd. I know it's nothing like Santa Anita or Belmont with a huge crowd. Keeneland's a little more intimate, but there's going to be a lot of the public in that area. And it's going to be interesting to see if the horse could get acclimated to its surroundings. So I like American Rockette to at least hit the board, maybe even win the race if everything turns out sound. Picking up 2 pounds, like I said, you'll get a good price though. All right, we talked about Leave No Trace, winner of the spinaway, then bounced a little in the Frisette, wasn't able to keep up with the Chocolate Gelato, did brush the gate and has a really, really nice Ragazin number comparable to Chocolate Gelato because of the rough trip. But this horse, I'm going to take a pass. I'm not so sure if this horse wants distance. Looks like a real nice sprinter. The 14-horse Raging Sea is a Chad Brown runner. Naturally, Chad Brown will take some money. Was right behind Wonder Wheel and Chop Chop. But what you had here was Jose Ortiz getting disqualified. Because I remember, running on the outside, crossed over on a couple of the runners there, forcing them to check. I've been seeing a lot of Twitter chatter getting to Jose Ortiz. A lot of people in the Midwest have been saying, too passive, not riding the way he used to, overrated, so forth. Let me tell you something. You're getting Pratt now, but it ain't much of an upgrade. I mean, Pratt is a great rider. He's going to avoid the trouble. He's going to avoid the riffraff. But when you're talking about full hustle and, really, really the muscle riding and the physical riding, you look at the Ortiz brothers, whereas you look for the finesse from guys like Pratt, John Velasquez, Javier Castellano, etc. They're more finesse guys, whereas the Ortiz brothers have now become a little more synonymous with the rougher tactics. But once again, this is a Chad Brown runner. Chad Brown, probably the best conditioner in the world. Fabulous with turf, with dirt. And he will have this horse ready to run, I'm telling you right now. Raging Sea, 8-1, but it's a difficult, difficult post to win from. The 14 hole, going to have to drop back. May have to come back, come from a little further back. So we're going to keep our eye on that without a doubt. Okay, now moving to race 8, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, which is a grade 1, of course, at a mile, $1 million. Right off the bat, the rail is very difficult, but you have Phil D'Amato, another monster Southern Cal trainer, 101 winners this year, just having a fabulous, fabulous season, 20% overall. Umberto Rispoli, the horse has won 3 in a row, 2 wins at Del Mar, 1 at Santa Anita. Granted, a very, very tough, post to win from, and did run against Meditate and lost and got crushed earlier this year. But, now you're changing trainers and you're going to Phil D'Amato. Now, I'm not familiar with Kinsella, I'm not going to say, but you look at the speed figures are massively improved from the time form ratings, and this horse definitely on a 3-race win streak has to be watched. The two, Cairo Consort, you know, Joel Rosario, second in Anata Lama. Last Call did beat this horse, turning the tables after a maiden loss. These Woodbine horses, they're very tough to get a read on. I think the horse could definitely get the distance. You're getting Rosario. Nathan Squires, you know, 5 of 81, a little known trainer. I have to take a pass. The trainer does show, good positive statistics and routes. Shows a 235 ROI when the horse is on a 31-60 day rest, 220 ROI, but I have to take a pass here. And Last Call, the horse is right next to, is 20-1, whereas Cairo Consort is 12-1. So, you know, I know the rough trip in the Anata Lama that Cairo Consort had. Last Call did get the upper hand. Now you get Detorian for the mount, some positives, but another horse I'm going to take a pass. These Woodbine horses, like I said, very, very difficult to get a read on, especially in these very big races. So, I love Kevin Attard as a trainer. He's a 20% trainer, 76 wins this year at a 375, stepping this horse now into uncharted waters. Did win this grade one, but that was a maiden, a maiden that won a grade one. So asking this horse to duplicate that effort in the Anata Lama is going to be very difficult. But if any conditioner could do it, Attard could do it. Okay, moving on to the four horse free look. Definitely Chad Brown got to be used here. I mean, you look at this horse. This is a real nice horse. Flavion Pratt takes the mount. Seems to be closing, but now showed a different element. Running against Pleasant Passage, where was able to sit really, really close. And Pratt got the horse to rate really nice. And that's what you need to do at Keeneland. And you have the winner of the Miss Grillo right next to her. Irad Ortiz, once again. Shug McGahee, unbelievable. Pleasant Passage. This is a real nice horse. Won the maiden, won the Miss Grillo, 2 for 2. Very hard to find something wrong with this horse. I'm going to be using this horse. I like the rags. I like the buyers. I think the horse is just an improving sort of animal. I know Shug knows what to do. The horse likes to sit close, but could also rate one multiple times at a mile and a 16th. Like I told you, the distance, the distance, the distance. It's so important. When running in the Breeders' Cup and these big fields, you have to be able to get the distance. Okay, moving to the six horse, Jose Ortiz gets a mount here, and this was the third place finisher. So you have the second place, the winner, and the third place finisher all in the 4, 5, and 6 hole right next to each other in the Miss Grillo. And this horse, ran well in the P.G. Johnson, crushed and was a big favorite. You got to remember, McGahee's horse, Pleasant Passage, was 9-1 in that race, and this horse was $1.20. On the money, and this horse, four wide, mild kick. This was one of those races where, the yielding course, I think, played against Be Your Best. But the whole problem here was one of those rides that, these Midwest guys are talking about. It wasn't one of Jose's best. It wasn't a masterpiece. He was wide. She was wide, I should say. Had to come with a big swooping move and just didn't have that kick that she had shown in the P.G. Johnson and the maiden victory. But all three races, remember, are on, Saratoga was very favorable, and sometimes horses love Saratoga, and it seems like all of the races were on courses that had a lot of give, because if you look at these track variants, they were very deep and heavy tracks, so it's going to be interesting to see this horse, if it's firm, if this horse could get a run on the firm going. Spirit Gal, very tough to go by these polytrack races, has two good wins in a row. Maiden race at 6 furlongs over in Ireland. These are the lower class Ireland tracks, though, I will say. And then a win over the polytrack, which a lot of people compare to turf. I'm going to take a pass. Manhattan Jungle, the same, running some really nice races in France against some very good graded company. But, what you have here now is the horse overrun. How many starts could you have as a two-year-old? I mean, this horse already has 7 starts, and the first 3 were great. The last 4 were mediocre. Okay, moving on to the 9-horse, Delight. I like this horse just because I saw the last race over the Keeneland race course, the grade 2 victory. The horse, and you could see the comment in the racing form. Ears pricked, kicked away. The horse was really into, you know, you could tell running. You know, when the horse's ears are pricked, you know that the horse is perceptive to something and really ready to run. And this horse will be piloted once again by Saez. Rode the horse 3 out of 4 races. You know, the only race that he didn't ride her was the Delaware Main Maiden Victory. So I definitely think Saez is going to have this horse real close to the lead. Luis is definitely a great gate rider. He's going to know the sense, keep an eye on the horse in the paddock area as well as when she hits the racetrack. Because if she has those ears going again and all that going, the horse seemed to love Keeneland. Was about 4-1 in the last race, a favorite, but not over bet. But the last 3 races has been a favorite. I think you'll get a better price on this horse. Looking at Delight, 6-1 morning line, definitely has a chance here. Without a doubt. Meditate, probably going to be your race time favorite, the Aiden O'Brien contingency. I mean, you see the grade ones, you see the grade 2 victory, grade 3, grade 3, 2 grade 3s, a grade 2, then stepped up to the grade 1s and was second in both with great runs. I mean, the last race, prominent, she was asked 2 furlongs out, you know, led, then got headed in the last, furlong and held well. But remember, this is a sprinter. This is a sprinter, 6-7 furlongs, has not gone the mile yet, guys. So keep that in mind. Definitely could have some distance limitations, but Ryan Moore is definitely a great, great rider and will know what to do with this horse. Aiden O'Brien, one of the best conditioners in the world. Trust me, that's why you see all those Twitter videos, lines the horses up, brings them all out in one, you know, just beautiful running lines. Definitely always brings tip-top horses here to compete in the Breeders' Cup World Championships. So Meditate definitely has a chance. Buick takes the mount for Grand Motion on the 11 horse. G. Laurie definitely has a chance. Blinkers on. Third in Anadalama coming from the clouds, but did lose to those 2 Canadian horses that we spoke about earlier. So watch the board on this one. I wouldn't take a short price. Midnight Mile, this is a very, very interesting animal. I like this horse's running style. I also have seen the 2 races, the Doncaster and the Newmarket race. Wasn't bet a nickel in either of these races. Another Richard Fahey horse. We're getting Laudon in the saddle, not too familiar. We're going to see, though, the horse had a very nice hold in the green, the oh-so-sharp grade 3 race, and looked green, the horse, you know, but definitely was able to challenge about furlong and a half out and then just took command and, held on. So got up in time, got that head down and was able to hold on that victory. I think this horse has some nice running lines. 10-1, going to be, I would say, in the 15-1 range. I definitely would give Midnight Mile a chance. And then looking at the 2 outside horses, the Philip Bauer horse, going to take some action with Julian Le Perreux. Had that really nice maiden victory. If you look at that race at Saratoga on August 28th, that was just an amazing run where the horse just dominated. She was eased up in the end. And this horse is, another horse where does she have distance limitations. I mean, the races were nice at Saratoga, but the first one, mile and a 16th, the horse couldn't hold the lead. So she went on really nice game. Then she won that maiden race. Then the Alcibiades, bumped around a little, might have had a rough trip, but I'm not so sure about that. I don't know if she's going to be able to get that distance. Now, the breeding, Nyquist, Black Tie Affair, yeah, definitely on the backside. Uncle Mo, we know that breeding out of, Nyquist is out of Uncle Mo, so, I don't know. Basil Martini, Joseph O'Brien, a nice win last time in a Group 3. I'm going to take a pass, though. This horse took 5 races to break the maiden and then breaks it in a Group 3. All right, so we'll see. O'Brien, usually Joseph O'Brien, a really good conditioner, not as good as Aiden, but a nice conditioner. So, you know, we look at this race now, the eighth race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Like I said, I like Delight. You know, Meditate is going to be the favorite. I'm going to use that Midnight Mile. I'm going to use Free Look, Pleasant Passage. Going to use quite a few horses, but I'm looking for Delight to possibly win this race. So we'll see how that pans out. Okay, moving on to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I'm not going to waste too much time on this race just because of the fact that I think Bob Baffert is holding all the cards. Now it just becomes a matter of, will this 4-5 Cave Rock just freak again? You're 3-3. Hernandez is in for the ride. Like I said, I really think a lot of JJ. He's one of the top riders, especially on the West Coast. He dominated the Del Mar meet. And if you saw, I tweeted out, I would say probably after the second or third week that this kid was easily the best rider out of that Southern California colony. And he really turned in a great performance this summer. He's continuing on during Santa Anita, not as hot, but definitely a capable rider. And you're seeing him ride now a possible, champion as this horse gets older. And 3-3, like I said, I mean, you look at the American Pharoah, got the mile in a 16th easily, which is today's distance in this Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I don't really think this horse can be beat, I'll be honest with you, especially when Baffert is holding all the cards like this. Now, you do have the four-horse Forte, Todd Pletcher, an improving horse, winner of the Hopeful, winner of the Breeders' Futurity. Like I said, I love a horse that wins over the course. So very important that this horse has won over the course. I think that is always a good factor and a good telling tale that you can get acclimated to your surroundings, which this horse did coming from Saratoga. Slop Victory in the Hopeful was just awesome, off the charts in 122-2. So this horse is the only horse, in my opinion, that can beat the Bob Baffert horse. And I know a lot of people are going to back Blazing Sevens, you know, another Chad Brown runner. He was nowhere against Forte in the Hopeful. May have been the sloppy track, but then you look at the Champagne and that was a sloppy track. And the horse bounced back. So maybe this horse needs distance. I mean, I don't know. Forte already won at the distance. This horse won at a mile. I think that the Champagne field was a little less than what Forte faced in the Breeders' Futurity. And the Hopeful was just off the charts. And, you know, Blazing Sevens was 12 lengths behind in that race. So let's take that into consideration. In between sandwich, you have Verifying, the Brad Cox horse, who is in between the 4 and the 6, Forte and Blazing Sevens. Blazing Sevens did beat Verifying in the Champagne. I bet Verifying that day off that maiden victory. It was really, really a nice race. When you win a maiden special weight, $105,000 purse at 6 furlongs as a 2-year-old colt at Saratoga, that's the best 2-year-olds in the world. You know, whether they're first time, whatever they're going through, you know, these horses, they're well-worked, they're well-bred, million-dollar purchases. This one, a $775,000 purchase, so Brad Cox, he can improve a horse to where this horse can possibly compete with Cave Rock, but, he's got his work cut out for him. But this is a really, really nice animal. Okay, you move to the outside, the 8-horse Lost Ark. Won the Sapling pretty easily at Monmouth after a nice maiden victory at Belmont, which was just lights out. 57-4, 104-1, really had cut out some beautiful fractions, then came back and destroyed the field in the Sapling, winning by 8 lengths. But then the terrible bounce at Keeneland, steadied early, checked, trouble trip. It shouldn't be 20-1 here, but you have the Baffert factor. The horse is going to be 4-5. So, yeah, the horse, I guess, should be 20-1 morning line. Then you go to the other Baffert horse who chased Cave Rock on the far outside, National Treasure. And this one is going back to John Velasquez, who rode the horse to the maiden special weight victory on September 3rd. I saw this horse run that day, and a really, really nice horse. Wasn't even the favorite that day, though. So how rare is it that a Bob Baffert $500,000 purchase in a two-year-old maiden race at Del Mar isn't the favorite? Then came back in the American Pharoah and Cave Rock just destroyed this horse. But, you know, the horse was prominent for the first half of the race. But just, you know, I think it was more of a learning experience. The horse got the distance, didn't really falter. I mean, it was 3.5 lengths in front of the third horse and now has a 111-1. So you might be looking at Bob Baffert 1-2 here. You know, I'm not going to waste too much money on this race. I like Cave Rock. Maybe Forte could get this horse. You know, maybe National Treasure. We've seen the other Baffert win at times. So there's always that possibility. I don't know. Very difficult to go against Cave Rock in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Race 9 at Keeneland. Okay, moving forward once again now to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And this is another very, very difficult race. You have the foreign contingency here. The 1, Victoria Road, Aiden O'Brien. Very nice horse. Has won 3 in a row. Maiden race, then the stake race for $130,000, then another Group 3. And Victoria Road is definitely on the upswing. Keep this in mind. This is a horse that won at 1 1/8, a 2-year-old. So don't worry about the distance. The 2 horses, the horse I like, I love, I'll be honest, the last 3 races for Paxawalop, I love Mike Smith, riding for Jeff Mullins. This horse, the last week at Del Mar, just crushed in the Del Mar Juvenile Turf for Grade 3. Then comes back into Zuma Beach at Santa and crushes again and runs a 2nd and 4/5 faster than what she ran at Del Mar. Well, he ran, I should say. So I really think that Jeff Mullins has this horse in great shape. And you look at the workouts, they're real nice as well. So it's going to be hard to falter a horse like this, I'll be honest with you. I definitely think that 6-1, right price is going to be about 5-1. I think the horse will get bet. But you do have all these foreign runners, like I said, Victoria Road. And then you move to the 4, Silver Knot, who Charles Appleby. Just amazing. He's 5-10 in America. So picture that. This guy is one of the best conditioners in the world. He shipped 10 horses. He's won with 50% of them. His go-to guy, Buick, in the saddle. Winner of the Autumn Stakes at Newmarket, which is always a nice little prep coming into this race. You know, so 3rd in the Champaign over at Doncaster. Winner of a Group 3 there at Sandown Park. A lot of positives. 1 on the poly track. So this horse is really going to get bet. 3-1 morning line. And I could see this horse going off anywhere from 5-2 to 2-1. Battle of Normandy. Work cut out. Another McGahee runner. But the Pilgrim wasn't there. And, you know, it was just empty. You see the comment. 20-1. Lescano had a fabulous Belmont at Aqueduct. He's been riding great. He had a fabulous Saratoga. Jose Lescano, he's one of, you know, my favorite riders because I think the guy always tries. Whether it's for Linda Rice on a $20,000 claimer or these bigger races, he is definitely a great, great rider, and I especially like him on turf. He knows what he's doing, Jose Lescano, but this horse is a little over its head. Okay, and the winner is, well, maybe Wayne Catalano, winner of the Bourbon. You know I love a horse that wins at Keeneland. You know, stepped up after the with anticipation with a better run. And Rosario takes over for Pratt. You know Pratt's going to go elsewhere. There's a Chad Brown runner, the 8, 9-2 morning line. I'm very busy. Ran 2nd in the Pilgrim. And, you know, that was coming off a rousing maiden special weight. Those 105,000 at Toga. Unbelievable. And, you know, the horse got bumped early. It was 4-5 wide. But did get beaten by Major Dude that day. And Major Dude was a horse that was more like a dirt horse that came then onto the turf for the first time in the Pilgrim. And Irad kind of taught Pratt a little lesson there. You know, there was some rebel rousing down the stretch. And this Chad Brown horse was 75 cents on the dollar. And Major Dude was a huge price that day. 10-1, paid over $20. Because I remember looking at the horse and I was trying to make a case, you know, coming out of the Sanford and the Sapling. And, you know, I saw the turf works and they were pretty impressive, but the horse just ran off the page. And I think I'm very busy kind of let us down in that race because I singled the horse and I would have had a real nice pick four pop, but just couldn't get the job done. I just don't understand what happens. You know, sometimes you get these Chad Brown horses. I mean, they look so good, flashy, jumping off the page. And then you have a Todd Pletcher runner who's trying the turf for the first time. And all of a sudden, you know, you're in a stretch duel with Irad and you're on the losing end. So in between those horses, you have the 9. He has a little shot. Nagarok. I watched the horse in the Futurity. That was a nice run, but this is all stretching out. This is not 6 furlongs. You know, you could get that 108-2, but you better be able to carry it. I think this horse will be on the lead probably, and, you know, could be effective. We'll see how it all pans out. Awesome speed. I mean, gets 56 is for 5 furlongs, 56-3, 56-4, and then still is able to continue on to the 108-2, 109-1. But both of those came at Belmont at Aqueduct. Aqueduct is a different type of turf course, I believe. But, you know, a very nice turf course. They had the turf course in awesome condition, knowing that Belmont wasn't going to run this, you know, the fall championship meet. And Nagarok definitely improved in that last race, the Futurity, even though the time was a little less. You know, you are beating horses like Gaslight Dancer, and, you know, that's a proven Mike Maker winner at Kentucky Downs at 7 furlongs in 121-3, and Nagarok was able to hold that horse off. So if you're looking for long shots, yeah, the 9 and the 14 definitely have chances. And you're getting Hernandez once again. Maker is going to pull that trump card 30-1 all the way on the outside on Gaslight Dancer. So definitely keep your eye on the 9 and 14. I will definitely be using them behind, you know, the horse that I said, the 2 Packs of Wallop. I really like Jeff Mullins' horse in this spot. I'm going to take a shot for the price. I will use the foreign horses behind, and like I said, some of those long bombs, you know, but when I'm structuring my pick fours and my late doubles, I definitely will be looking to this Jeff Mullins runner. So the Friday card is really, really going to be exciting, guys. I'll be honest with you, and I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, you know, now we will be you know, webcasting the Saturday, our Breeders' Cup seminar, which is Friday night. And most of my Saturday picks, I really don't want to reveal because I want you guys to enjoy the seminar and, you know, just not get enamored with knowing what I'm going to pick ahead of time. But, you know, giving you some insight, I'll be honest with you, in the third race, Frank's Roquette, I think the horse definitely has a really nice chance. Bill Mott, we've seen this combination with Luis Saez occasionally this year, but not very frequent. But when you're going to Saez on a speed horse like this, who just crushed at Charlestown, you know, ran very well against Kamari, who is going to take massive money in the Honorable Miss at Saratoga, ran second in the Vagrancy, second at Oaklawn. This horse could almost travel anywhere. But keep in mind, 0-2 at Keeneland, I'm looking to buck that trend because I think the horse is the now horse, is in really good shape. Those last three races have been improved. There's proper spacing, not overrun, July to August that month, and now you go into the Breeders' Cup on a steady work tab. Bill Mott, one of the greatest conditioners, 4,000 wins, we all know that. You know, hopefully he will have the horse ready. I'm looking for a little price on Frank's Roquette. You know, I think this horse definitely can make some noise. 6-1 morning line. The horse right next to inside, CC, we know CC, Victor Espinoza, Michael McCarthy. The horse just trounced in that last race at Santa Anita after an unsuccessful trip to Saratoga, but there was success at Gulfstream. There was success at Oaklawn this year. You know, very successful racehorse. $2.3 million in the bank. So CC's just going to take money off her name alone because people know this horse and definitely will be overbet, in my opinion. Goodnight Olive, another Chad Brown horse, definitely has a chance. You know, Irad Ortiz hasn't run since August, crushed in the Ballerina, 80,000 claimer before that, 60,000 optional, 82,000 allowance, now on a five-race win streak. Then you also have the other Mott horse, Obligatory, but like I said, I'm definitely going with Frank's Roquette over Obligatory. In my opinion, I just think that Mott will have that horse in a little better shape. Echo Zulu drew the outside. Honorable mention to Hot Peppers, who I made some good money with in the Jersey Girl and the Victory Ride. But then, she seemed to tail off. I was hoping for a victory in the test. I always respect a horse that wins the test. I mean, very subtle. We know Safely Kept, some monsters, Go For One, that have won that race. But I just feel that, when she didn't win that race, I'm going to have to take a pass. Wicked Halo, Steven Asmussen, one of the best in the world. Winner of the Raven Run. That's definitely important. Like I said, another horse on a four-race win streak and has won at Keeneland. Echo Zulu all the way on the outside. She's going to take massive action. Another Asmussen runner. You're seeing 6-1 on the morning line. I don't believe that. I think she'll be in the same odds range as Goodnight Olive, to be honest with you. The Dogwood was nice, bounce back after the Kentucky Oaks, but, she just didn't like the distance. And Secret Oath and Nest were in there. So, you're talking about a horse that won at Saratoga, Belmont, Delmar, Fairgrounds, and Churchill. 59-2, working lights out for this. Ricardo Santana regains this mount, and I know he's definitely going to be trying real hard with this horse. Okay, moving on to race four. I'm going to give you one of my better picks on the day, but I'm not going to give you guys too much more. I want you guys to enjoy the seminar. Watch on the Rampart website, theresortatsummerlin.com. We will have the webcast if you can't make it for all you people out of Las Vegas. And anybody that's in Las Vegas, this is a real treat having Bob Icke. You guys know that. Bob Icke is one of the only handicappers who swept a card, a Santa Anita card. I believe it was 9 races and gave out 9 top selection winners. And it's just such a great camaraderie that Bob and I have. This is, we've done multiple seminars now, and they've just been so successful. We've made people a lot of money over the past few years, and just looking forward to it. Always fun when I'm joining Bob. I enjoy it to the hilt. It's one of my favorite events. Okay, moving on now. I'm just going to give you this. The other Wesley Ward horse in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, Campanelle. We know that Irad and Golden Pal are going to be odds on. Highfield Princess is going to take a lot of money. I like Campanelle, Leonfranco Dottori. I think the horse could definitely run. I like Bran a little with Vincent Chaminade. I think he could definitely get a good trip. You're looking at a horse that won at Kentucky Downs in 107-2. Keep that in mind. 107-2. That is just a brilliant, brilliant run, if you ask me. But I'm going with Campanelle, and I definitely will use Brand. Golden Pal has to be used. We know that. I mean, can't say enough about this horse. I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful animal. Casa Creed had a real good season. I mean, winner of the 4-Star Dave, winner of the Jaipo in 107-2. Beat Arrest Me Red, beat some of the horses in here. I think, though, after that last race, going to take a pass, might be looking to bounce a little. Okay, moving on to the Dirt Mile. Here's another horse I'm going to give you. I'm just going to give you a singular. I'm not going to break down these races because, like I said, we got a lot to break down at the Breeders' Cup Seminar at the Rampart Casino. Love and goodnight. Goodnight. Steven Asmussen, horse is on a 4 out of 5 streak right now. Winner of the Amsterdam, which is always an impressive race. 109-1, 115-3. Then got 121-4 in the Harrods Creek. And then the Perryville at Keeneland was just awesome. 123-1. Although very short favorite in these races, I think he's coming into the race beautifully. And only a 3-year-old. Keep that in mind. This horse won the Hopeful as well as a 2-year-old. Laurel River, going to take a ton of action. Bob Baffert, Irad Ortiz, going from JJ to Irad. winner of the Pat O'Brien. That was a real impressive run. I think I showed the post parade on Instagram of the Pat O'Brien. That was a stacked field. And this was as an impressive run as you were going to get. Beating American Theorem, definitely beat Senor Buscador. Going to be tough. Cody's Wish, probably going to be the favorite. The horse right next to him. Look at those last three. Winner of the Westchester, winner of the Hanshin. The Forgo was awesome. Beating Jackie's Warrior, reeling in Jackie's Warrior, who, you know, is going to be odds on in the sprint. Jackie's Warrior is going to be very tough this year in race 7, 4-5. You know, Kamari's in the race, Elite Power. I don't know if these horses have the speed to, go with this horse. But Cody's Wish went right by. Cyberknife, great three-year-old campaign. You look at the victories in the Haskell, the Matt Wynn, just very impressive. Second place to Epicenter in the Travers. Third place to Tiber, no disgrace there. Shortening up, though. Really, you'll have to take to a mile to win this race. So this is a great Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, I'll be honest with you. I'm really impressed with this field. I can't believe how good it is. All right. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Turf. I'm going to leave this one open. You know, I want you guys, like I said, I'm looking, I'm an Italian, so in Italian, fabulous, fabulous runs this year, but stretching out, you know, got to go a little, got to get back to that mile and an eighth like she did in the Diana. And this is a mile and 3/16, so, you know, you're going to see the Ragazins off the page, you're going to see the Buyers off the page, but these are at a little shorter distances, but that win in the First Lady was just amazing. Crushed in 133-1 over this course. Definitely going to be right on the lead with Joelle and as far as she goes. Breeders' Cup Sprint, like we said, Jackie's Warrior going to be very tough, in my opinion. Very, very, very tough. The remainder of the card is just awesome. We're not going to break down the Breeders' Cup Mile. Breeders' Cup Distaff, we all know, Nest, is going to be odds on in that race. Malatat, very tough. Malatat has a perfect record at Keeneland. You know my heart is with Blue Stripe. My man, Marcello Polanco, has this horse in amazing shape. She could definitely compete at a big price. So if you're looking for a price, Blue Stripe is it. Now, had this horse for a full year, did Marcello, and definitely could make this horse, into a winner. She has done nothing wrong this year, dominated most of the older fillies in Southern Cal, but now beating Nest, beating Search Results, Clarier, and Malatat, that's unbelievable. What a field. She's Secret Oath, 15-1, what a field. What a field. Breeders' Cup Turf, another race where I'm going to leave it to the seminar. Don't want to blow everything. Don't want you guys to get out of proportion. I will tell you, Warlike Goddess is a really, really nice horse. I mean, definitely another one that Joelle, pilots, and a very, very nice horse. Very, very nice. But it's a filly. And you know the foreign contingency is going to be tough. So keep that in mind. Going to open the door so I get a little fresh air here before we cut out. Breeders' Cup Classic, it's Flightline's Race to Lose. They're comparing Flightline, Bob Ike told me, to Secretariat. So that's how they feel about this horse in Southern Cal. Life is good. I would have loved to have seen Life is Good in the Breeders' Cup Mile, Dirt Mile. Tiber, drawn on the rail, but you know Bob Baffert is going to be looking to upset, and Epicenter has been training really, really well. So I'm not going to give you my selection, although I feel Flightline is definitely going to be tough to beat, 3-5. And if Flightline and Jackie's Warrior both win on Saturday, guys, the payoffs are going to be not what we really hope for from a Breeders' Cup day. So keep that in mind. Epicenter, unbelievable, though. Workout Tab, 5-1, some value there. Tiber, 8-1. Rich Strike, the Derby winner, 20-1. So there you have it, guys. Join us tomorrow night at the Rampart Cascade Lounge, 6 p.m. for the seminar. And if you can't join us, cast it. It's well worth it, guys. Thanks for joining me on If and Reverse.